Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. Dino Legovic has just bet $10 that there would be no sound, and the sound worked on the first instance. So, who were you betting with? Odyssey? Me? It seems that you owe 10 bucks to someone. And he says, fuck, I needed that 10. I contacted Odyssey and I asked them to check both the sound issue, the post-live sound issue. Some people don't, after I upload, they don't get the audio. And it's too bad because on my side, I can't check that bug because on my side, it plays. There's a lot of people who play the sound and it works, but some people, it doesn't play. So I contacted them. I described the problem. I also talked to them about buffering. They say that they are aware of all these issues and they're working on them, but I gave them supplementary information. Hopefully, it fixes their stuff. On my side, I tried a lower bitrate tonight, so I don't know. Do you guys receive good quality? I've lowered the quality a little bit just to see, can we get a little less buffering? Hopefully, this will work for everyone. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? This meme was posted on the Discord. I never get tired of it. Humans didn't invent agriculture. Humans were domesticated by wheat. No, this doesn't make any sense. It doesn't matter how many times I see this meme. I'm always like, oh yeah, this is the meme. This is the one that will train the normies to think in terms of evolution. It's a beautiful meme. I love it. Stephen J. James says, Dear Odyssey, tick, 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 tick. You have until July 1st to solve this problem. All right, thinking, oh yeah, this guy, thinking about this badass from North Carolina who single-handedly saved 1,200 types of apples from going into extinction. Look at this old man just sitting on a couch. Heritage apples, my hobby, finding lost apple varieties. Tom Brown, Clemens, North Carolina. That is great. I'm so happy he's doing this. Really great. What is there to say? This guy has found a very nice way to end his life. That's the kind of autistic project I would pursue totally if I have like 10 years left to live and I've done everything I needed to do on this earth. And I have extra time, I'm collecting apples for sure. And this guy publishes his fully portable off-grid battery charging station, charge AA and C or D batteries while charging high-output drone batteries and a cell phone with a 2.5-watt solar panel, charging the 12-volt battery, which powers a 400-watt inverter, and two separate battery chargers. Oh my god. How do you get to this with a 2.5-watt solar panel? Like, this must be pretty long to charge. I'm not an expert on these calculations, but 2.5 watts entry seems like a very little power to charge all this massive amount of things. But then it's an inverter at 400 watt plugged to a battery. How does that work? And on top of it, you have to pay the price of the round trip of charging your first battery, which then charges the 400 watt inverter and then charges the other batteries. Dino Legovic says 275 years fully charged. I mean, the setup is impressive, don't get me wrong, but how is the entry of energy so small? How does that work? A message from Jane Rowe, which liberals will never listen to. Let's listen to what Jane Rowe had to say.
Most of you won't recognize me or my real name. It's Norma McCorvey. I'm also known as Jane Rowe, the plaintiff in the Supreme Court case, Roe versus Wade. which legalized abortion in America and changed our nation in an unprecedented way. Back in 1973, I was a very confused 21-year-old with one child and facing an unplanned pregnancy. At the time, I fought to obtain a legal abortion, but the truth be told, I have three daughters and have never had an abortion. However, upon knowing God, I realized that my case, which legalized abortion on demand, was the biggest mistake of my life. You see, abortion has eliminated 50 million innocent babies in the U.S. alone since 1973. Abortion scars an untold number of post-abortive mothers, fathers, and families, too. You read about me in history books, but now I'm dedicated to spreading the truth about preserving the dignity of all.
50 years of legal precedent and national U.S. history were based on a 21-year-old who didn't even want the abortion. Let's not do this again. I'm glad that she found happiness and all, but oh my God, how can we have let 50 years of precedent of keeping all the legal system and the political system from doing what they wanted, all of this for a woman who changed her mind, and she was 21 when it started. Unbelievable. And someone publishes a meme of Clarence Thomas just saved more black lives than BLM ever did. It's true. This decision will probably save more black lives than anything ever done, really, in the U.S., because abortion is a popular option in the black community. Definitely, it's going to become less available. However, there's a question there about will the states that blacks live in actually ban abortion? That is not certain. Certain states certainly will, but blacks are also high concentration in leftist big cities, around big cities, and so there they shouldn't have a problem continuing to get abortion. But it's true, it's going to save a lot of black lives. Dino Legovic says, if you didn't abort all those babies... Okay, Dino Legovic, I'm going to remove this chat. I'm not going to read the rest. Shauna Harris, who said she prescribes medications based on the political affiliation of her patients, has resigned. A doctor, a female doctor, black sheep in the Midwest. Oh my God. Black sheep in the Midwest. That means she probably works at some kind of Republican state, I guess, and she's pro-LGBT, pro-heart, BLM, and she says, I prescribe meds, I can also choose not to prescribe. So from now on, if you are a white male who votes conservative, your penis needs to ask God for the power to rise. No more Viagra. This is so cheap. And it's just outright discrimination, first. I hope she gets banned from Twitter. Of course she won't. But it's political and racial hate that she expresses. And she is a doctor, apparently. Now she has resigned from the medical center where she was working. Good thing. But yeah, we have to be careful because the leftists are maximally pissed. However, I don't think it will affect us much. I think the leftists will just take it in, take their loss, and I don't think there's going to be much anarchy. I know that there's been a couple of pregnancy centers attacked. It appears that Antifa is so indiscriminate in the attacks that sometimes they attack a pregnancy center that's actually pro-abortion. But they're trying to target the Christian type pregnancy centers that try to convince you away from getting an abortion. Stray says buffering. Pineapple Platypotamus says F. Well, we have our first buffering event at 10 minutes into the show. Thank you for noticing me. And I'll be taking records of when that happens, and I'll talk to Odyssey. Because today I reduced the bitrate, it should have less buffering. Far left group uses map created by university professors to target pregnancy center, of course with their little slogan of anarchy, if abortions aren't safe, neither are you. These centers, which typically offer test and counseling services from a pro-life perspective, have been vandalized, smashed, and set on fire in growing numbers across the country in the weeks leading up to the U.S. Supreme Court's overturning of Roe v. Wade. While these centers' locations are public knowledge, perpetrators have been using online tools that collect and organize this information in a way that makes it easier for them to find the next target. So again, we have the hand-in-hand collaboration of the academic system and the Antifa goons. So the professors in the academic world, they make maps, and then these maps are somehow obtained by Antifa, and then the kind of violent harm of the leftist, fascistic, violent base executes their plans for them. Absolutely ridiculous, and I hope everyone gets caught. And I hope that this whole anarchy and violence rising because of Roe v. Wade, I hope that it's an opportunity to put people in jail, because it's going to be easy probably for this political violence to get covered up in the city. So unfortunately, there's going to be pro-life centers that get targeted in the city and where the district attorney does nothing. But if these guys there go into the Republican areas with Republican policemen and Republican district attorneys, they're not going to go easy on them. So hopefully it's all a transitory period that will allow putting people who belong in jail into jail. Raised Fist says, JF, is the win about abortion only theoretical? What kind of people will change their mind about having an abortion just because they have to travel a bit further to get it? I think we shouldn't underestimate. I say yes, the big victory of Roe v. Wade is the theoretical one. It's a matter of principles, and it will leak into so many other things. It's not just about abortion. It's about way of life for Republican states, because we were in this very toxic conception of the American system where leftist states act in leftist ways, but Republican states are not let to act in Republican ways. So you had this kind of toxic transfer of leftist culture into right-wing states. So they couldn't increase their birth rate, for example, by banning abortion. Now they can. So that's where it matters. It matters because Republicans only win in freedom. If you're not free to excel, if you're not free to do better than the leftists, then Republicans lose. So the Roe v. Wade victory is mostly theoretical, but has massive practical implications for the capacity of right-wing people to live a better life. And eventually down the line, 50 years down the line, what do you have? You have the Republican states being the only place where everyone wants to live. And that, of course, is accompanied by increase of value, increase of political engagement on the right. Hopefully, that's what we can get. So this is the main victory. However, you add you have the question, will it change minds? I would be careful not to underestimate the power of a little complication for a 21-year-old pregnant female. A little complication for a 20-year-old, 21-year-old pregnant female is big. They may not have as much money. They may be already on the fence. It comes also with all the kind of social oppression of it. Where, am I really going to travel to do something that the likes of me would condemn, that my politicians are banning, that my doctor is telling me is illegal here? It feels dirty. And so I will tell you that, yes, it's going to change some minds because of any complication you add on a path changes the behavior of humans. If you make it harder, less humans want to do it. But also there's the whole cognitive oppression that will seep in. You're killing a baby. From the state you come from, people consider that what you're going to do is killing a baby. And you're going to feel dirty, at least in the process of getting on the bus and getting on the Biden bus. There were jokes about the Biden Cadillac with Richard Spencer. There's about to be an actual Biden Cadillac that comes to grab you in a Republican state so you can get your abortion in a Democrat state. And just this this little feeling of dirtiness will be good. It's the return of the patriarchy. We have to celebrate this. It is so great. Dead Star sends a super chat. Thank you so much for supporting the show. And I see that Jan has sent two massive super chats. Thank you so much. I'll get to it. Dead Star says, fictional Jesus, fictional message. Have unconditional love for your fellow and leave all judgment to good God internet Christians. Get fucked, motherfucker. Fucking neck. May God strike you down. Atheists come. This is the message of a Jesus that you have imagined. Have unconditional love for your fellow and leave all judgment to God internet Christians. And then get fucked, motherfucker, fucking neck, may God strike you down, atheists come. Dead Star, I am confused. I am confused. Is that what Jesus said? Or is that what you answered to Jesus? I don't get it. I don't get it. Jan sends $200. Thank you so much for sending this. And he had forgotten to attach the $200 to his message. But I have received his message. His message was saying, I just watched your recent Elon show. They say you need 2.1 children to reach replacement rate to make up for accidents and illnesses. Today you need 3 or more because of anti-natalist institution. Elon was on the right track with lots of children. Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree that the 2.1 is the current rate and it doesn't include anti-natalist behaviors. So this is a statistic that we're going to have to calculate because it will never be given to us. I've never seen a calculation of it. I think it's very interesting. So you start with the 2.1. The 2.1, what it reveals is not how many grandchildren you're going to have. It's how many of your children will reach reproductive age in a reasonable time window of adult life to make babies. I would love to see, and maybe I'll do it myself, I would love to see a calculation of what is the replacement rate for maintenance if you look 2 generations down the line. So that will include non-reproductive decisions by the children. But yeah, I mean, Elon had the right way to go. And in fact, even Elon didn't do enough. My families, we were having 10 to 14 babies per family. And this was such until the boomer generation. I think it's the way to go because there's going to be propaganda. There's going to be a punk in your family that doesn't want baby. There's going to be so much things on the way and some people just die, accidents, etc. So yes, you are totally, if you just want to maintain yourself or surpass replacement rate, you should aim minimum 5 babies, if not 10, 15. I fully agree with this. Some random bloke sends another super chat. Thank you so much. He says, what about Canada's position on abortion? Justin Trudeau basically said that pro-lifers aren't welcome in Canada. Yes, it is. It's the communist option of Canada. It's where I live. Maybe I'm not welcome in Canada. Doesn't matter. I'm born here and I have equal rights to Justin Trudeau. I could very well say the same thing he said. You're not welcome in Canada, Justin Trudeau. It changes nothing because the fact is we both have the right to live here. But yeah, Canada, of course, expectedly is a far left country, totally in line with the Great Reset and absolutely in line with the abortion agenda. But it leads to broken hearts, let me tell you. I have family members, a beautiful female in my family. Like I say beautiful, I wouldn't date her because she's within my extended family, but you know, a great female who could have had babies, had boyfriends here and there, maybe had an abortion or two, and you know, reaches 39-year-old. And is like, oh my God, I just realized I really want babies. She tries having babies. First baby is Down syndrome, gets an abortion. Second baby is Down syndrome, gets an abortion. She ends up at 41-year-old, knowingly sterile, and she had her two last chances at 39, 40, and it led to two Down syndrome babies being aborted. So you end up with zero with you end up with zero passation of your genes. I've seen this, and it's extremely heartbreaking because all that it would take is not even a patriarchy, not even a massive amount of oppression. It would just take a little kick in society, just a uncle, just a father who say, yeah, you know what, you should set your life and build it around the goal of having babies. This is what will make you happy. Dead Star sends a super chat. He says, Jesus, who never lived, is imagined to have asked his followers to unconditionally love their fellow men and reserve judgment of others for God. Did you see the chat the other night, JF? These so-called Christians are the most mean-spirited, spiteful people you can imagine. Yeah, it's true that there's a type of Christian that's annoying. The type of Christian who go to modern-day debate to be like, oh my God, the atheists have lost. Oh my God, God wins again. They're really something else. Yes, some Christians are annoying. I wouldn't say it's a Christian thing, though. I think it's just most people are annoying. And Christians include a lot of people from all walks of life. But that being said, you know, Christians are also very open. They are. Some of them want to engage. Some of them want to hear your intellectual arguments. Most of them, though, they will show openness selectively to if you acknowledge that God exists. You know, I've been in churches and you will never hear me. You know, even in these discussions where the whole room is praying, I will never give a sign that I'm praying because I don't want to lie. I don't want to be deceptive. When they say, you know, when they start screaming, God exists, I say nothing. When they say Amen, I say nothing. I've been a tourist here and there, and Mama JF, you know, believes in God, so I can accompany her at times to these things. And they really want you to say God exists. You know, one Christian took me on the side at some point, after a church thing, and he was like, you know what, JF, I had a doctor once, and we were trying to fix some knee problem, I think, and I would tell him that God has my knee in his hands and that God will fix it, and he was open. The doctor was hearing my prayer to God, and he was open to hear about it. However, in all single sentences that he would say, there would never be an acknowledgement that God exists. He would never grant even the little window of me thinking that he may believe in God. He was always using neutral language and describing my belief in God. And he was like, it's a little bit like you. And I was like, yeah, yeah. You'll never hear me claim that I believe in God or make it look like to other people that I believe in God, because I don't. So Christians, they really want you to be part of the team. Now, they may sin by too much openness once you claim that God exists. They're like, it's too easy to fool a Christian. That's the problem. It's like, oh yeah, God exists. Oh God, please help me do this and that. All you have to say is this, and they're going to be like, yeah, let's all help this guy. Let's give him free stuff. It's too exploitable of a culture. Silver Spider sends a super chat. He says, hey, Jeff, you seem pretty white-pilled about this SCOTUS decision. I'm still worried that maybe they should have waited until after the midterms to do this. Republicans have made bad strategic decisions in the past. Personally, I don't think so. You know what? I think the American people is begging and willing to be told, like, here's the way of life going forward. Most normies, you know, they just want to be set in a structure. They will get, you know, they will receive the survey call, and as they answer the survey, they'll be like, oh yeah, are you against abortion? No, I'm for abortion, you know, the rights of women, that's important. They know how to spout the justification that the left wants them to say. But I don't think we should make a mistake here to think that this decision is truly perceived in the heart of the average American, even the centrist leftist American. I don't think that they perceive it in their heart as oppressive. You know what's oppressive, and which a part of the American population probably experiences as oppressive? It's the fact that they had to answer in surveys for the last 50 years, oh yeah, I'm for abortion. Oh yeah, like this kind of leftist control over what is okay in current society, that's oppressive. The idea of letting states decide how they want to live from a democratic standpoint, that's not oppressive. So the only people who truly experience the Roe v. Wade decision as a great attack on your woman's right and, oh my God, it's oppressive, it's the media, the far left, the Antifa, and the revolutionaries. Now, don't get me wrong, it's a whole bunch of people. But I don't think that the centrist average American experiences it that much as, oh my God, we have to do something in the midterms, we have to remove these Republicans, they're unhinged. I don't think that's how it happens in their brain. Raised Fist says, Jeff, here we go, Radio Canada, un juge de la Louisiane bloque temporairement l'interdiction d'avorter. Yeah, this is a set of news that I was about to talk about. It happened also in the Utah, and it happened in Louisiana, and it's probably going to happen in all these states with trigger laws. Utah judge issues temporary restraining order on state's abortion trigger law. Now, you had all these states that had made laws already on the book that were stating, if Roe v. Wade is ever abolished, abortion is illegal. And that's just the leftists trying to go at it, trying to resurrect Roe v. Wade. They're trying to lengthen the process to obtain these temporary blockades. Probably not because they think they're going to win at the Supreme Court level, but they want to delay the whole process and make it costly for whoever wants to ban abortion. I believe that the Supreme Court justices are set on their decision. It's not going to be these little attacks on these laws that will work in the end. But they will work to extend abortion rights for maybe a couple of months, a couple of years, in a couple of places. It's too bad that we have to go through this. This should get expedited to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court should take all these cases, like 1,000 of them that pop randomly, and say, all of these cases are wrong, these laws are in effect, And judges, you know, at the bench, it's your job to apply the current law. And the current law is you have your state law that says it's illegal, and you have the Supreme Court that says this is okay. It's okay that it's illegal. So it's a shame. It's a shame that we have these temporary blockades. The temporary system of justice is an entirely parallel system, completely deprived of due process and used as a weapon in America. It's terrible in family courts how they do it. But they use the length of the process to wear you out. But it's not gonna happen. Long term, these temporary restraining orders will disappear. Hopefully they can escalate to the Supreme Court the temporary restraining order. That way it will be clear and we'll get to the law as quick as possible so that the leftists have to deal with it internally and accept the loss. Some random bloke sends a super chat. He says, "Hey Jeff, can you buy and review the book Race and Evolution by Stephen K. Sanderson?" I never heard of this book. I can totally do this, especially for the people like you who are regular supporters of the show. There it is. I've put it in my list and I'll buy it tonight. And I still have one thing to review, which is give my final review and final opinion on Frank Salter. But I can get to this book relatively fast after that. By the way, if you'd like to support the show, just like the good people of the chat have done up to now, use the dollar button under the regular chat on Odyssey. Odyssey is my favorite platform for super chats. Alternatively, you can also use Entropy. The link to Entropy is in the description below. I answer all questions, free questions, as well as paid super chats on Entropy and Odyssey. Gender transition procedures aren't safe or appropriate for children, Senator Tom Cotton said. GOP lawmakers introduced legislation that will allow individuals to sue doctors who performed gender transition surgery on them while they were minor. Oh my God, this is going to be interesting. Of course, this will not pass because we don't have the House. But if the midterms get the House, we could get it. And even if it doesn't happen at the federal level, interestingly, it will be interesting to see how this develop at the state level. because this will put such a pressure. I mean, how many people end up with regrets after sex change? And how many of those, they're starting to do it younger and younger. So some of them were minors. It will lead to the business of promoting sex change to be unviable in certain places of America. That would be absolutely awesome. I hope that the GOP continues this pursuit, because there's lots of people getting hurt by this whole political persuasion thing. Some random bloke says, "Hey JF, Ed Dutton has got a new book, Spiteful Mutants. Can you review that as well?" Well, I've already given much of my opinions on why I disagree with the spiteful mutant term, but I didn't know it was available. I might get it. However, I see there's no Kindle option. I like it when it's a Kindle option, because paperback is $25. I like to have the low cost option, but if Ed Dutton could push it toward the digital, so I have to spend a little less to get it, I'll be up for reviewing it. Kamala Harris first interview after the Roe v. Wade abolishment.
Our daughter will not know the rights for the court for the amount of time that my mother-in-law knew these rights, which is the right that should be well settled, that a woman should have to make decisions about her own body.
If it's so well settled, why don't you change the Constitution? If it's so certain. It should be easy to change the constitution, but no, you can't because it's not as agreed upon as you make it out to be.
And when we think about it, everyone has something at risk on this. First of all, if you are a parent of sons...
By the way, imagine a constitutional amendment, my body, my choice. I would actually welcome this, my body, my choice. And suddenly all the vaccine passports and vaccine extortion tactics of the left, all of them illegal in America. Are you sure you want a my body, my choice constitutional amendment? Because I'll be rooting for you, Kamala. Breaking in a major ruling, New York State Supreme Court rules that non-citizens cannot vote in local elections. That is a massive win. It doesn't even come from the SCOTUS. It comes from the New York Supreme Court. We have been following this on the news. They were developing these local rules that make illegal migrants, they can vote in the local elections. And non-citizen residents, as they call them. Thankfully, we didn't even have to get to the federal level here. We have a state Supreme Court, a leftist state Supreme Court, that says, no, that makes no sense. By allowing anyone who's there physically to vote, you are diluting the due process rights, the due process democratic rights, of all the other voters. Thankfully, this is the conclusion. I hope that it stays that way. Perhaps even bring that case to the federal level so that we have a nationwide judgment on it. But I'm very thankful that this very dangerous practice, it's dangerous because it creates a cycle of a city wants all of the homeless it can have, all of the illegal migrants. It attracts them to get voted into power, and once in power, they attract even more so that they, you know, you crash a city in this way. Nancy Pelosi has a letter in which she calls the Supreme Court an extremist entity. While this extremist Supreme Court works to punish and control the American people, Democrats must continue our fight to expand freedom in America. Expand freedom? I'm all about it. How about we expand the medical freedom? How about no forced vaccine, no vaccine extortion scheme? I'm with you, Nancy Pelosi. Let's do it. By the way, the current situation, and there was another judgment today. That's why I say SCOTUS is on a roll. A prayer case of a coach who wanted to do a Christian prayer at the end of matches. He had always been doing it, and he was joined by his team who were praying with him in football. And the university that was employing him was asking that he stops because it gave the impression that the university was somehow endorsing Christianity. It's like, okay, I didn't have much of a dog in this fight. I didn't really care what happened, but the Supreme Court has decided that the university cannot ask him not to pray. Of course, it's a limited judgment in the sense that those are not paid salaried employees. They're just, you know, a coach and football players, and they're not paid by the hour. It's not on their clock time, if you will. So in that sense, the fact that they were spending time doing the prayer doesn't affect the university in terms of loss of money or time. But I would be careful with this judgment. I think we should celebrate as a win, because ultimately it's the secularist university system, which is obsessed about all minorities except Christians, who gets a slap on the wrist here because they were trying to hide Christianity, basically. So on that side, it's a win. However, you have to be careful with religious liberty in America, because if you build up to it the way Canada does, Then eventually religious liberty becomes the liberty of a policeman to wear a Muslim symbol to do the promotion of the Muslim religion as part of his job. Or it becomes the teacher's right to wear an Islamic veil. Or it becomes any sign that can be imposed on the public eye can be displayed by, say, Walmart employees. That's a problem when you reach that point of religious liberty, because you are under the corporate umbrella of someone who employs you, and you're using that time, you're using that opportunity to basically display a message to people who have not consented to receiving this message. So there is a huge difference between liberty of speech and the liberty of the air. We don't have an amendment that says you are free not to hear stuff you don't want to hear. And that's unfortunate, because it should be as important as the liberty to speak. You should have the liberty to speak, but you shouldn't have the liberty to impose your speech onto someone who doesn't consent to it. There should be a way to escape. And there's no way to escape once you allow so much religious freedom. Stray says, another wave of buffering for me at 40 minutes. Too bad, but thank you for regularly updating me about this. I will take notes. So now we have a wave at 10 minutes and a wave at 40 minutes. So that's two waves of buffering. Now, let me know when you're back. Let me know when the show is back, because I want to know, are you experiencing the kind of buffering that makes you unable to watch the show, or is it just a temporary thing and then it flashes back in again? Thank you very much for updating me on this. I see that Based and Defined also are experiencing buffering. Dead Star says, never once have I heard you appeal to philosopher XYZ in books 1, 2, 3. You speak simply of ideas and philosophies you have cultivated yourself, and you express them honestly without any intention of deception. How one ends up in the philosophical hellholes your debate partners are in, I know not. Oh my god, you're totally right. And now we are back. So somehow the buffering issue was a 30-second thing, maybe 20 seconds. I'm glad to hear. That means it's kind of listenable still. Dead Star, you are absolutely correct. I am a self-made man in the philosophical world. And how you read Hegel and Kant, and the problem is that these guys have written so much crap just to fill the volume. John Drake says, still buffering. FD says, still buffering. Okay, so for some people, it's more extensive than 30 seconds. How do you end up in the hellhole of reading Hegel and all of his divagations? These guys were on dope, and they are the equivalent of Olympics performance on super drugs, you know? And they have filled books with meaningless considerations, undefined use of words, the thing in itself and the thing as it is and the it of the thing. Without definition, this means nothing. And then you have basically a whole business in the university domain that is of selling you the idea that they understand. That's why you see perspective philosophy doing this. It's because it's the job of an academic. It's to make you believe that he has figured out what Kant really meant, and you don't understand, and so you need to go to his class. And it's crap. It's undefined crap. And it's been carried across the generations. And its complicated nature, if you will, is a feature of it. Because then it's complicated. Then you have to spend years to read through their books. I expressed a novel theory of life in 140 pages. each word clearer than the last. There's no misunderstanding this book. And yet, these philosophers, it seems that they are designed to be misunderstood. It's a big problem, yes. And no, I will never invoke a book other than for reference to say, this is this guy's ID. But then I will right away lay out on the public space, what is the ID? Why is it that I believe in it? I think it's a much better way of life. Pineapple Platypotamus says, Silver Spider, were you here on JF Chat years ago when I would interrogate people during the whole hour? Yeah, Pineapple Platypotamus is an old school listener of this show. I still remember, and it's unfortunate that I don't see it here on Odyssey, but I still remember your little logo, your little pineapple logo. And to me, when you do a chat on Odyssey, like the pineapple logo is missing. When is Odyssey adding logos? That's an important question. Some random bloke says, hey, JF, did you know that Robert Rivers is an elf? An elf. I don't know what is the origin of Robert Rivers in terms of his religion or in terms of his ethnics. I know that he's extremely, he's almost transracial. He has hung out a lot with black people and he lived in Jamaica, I believe, for a long time. And so I know that he totally feels like he's a black man. But you can see he's not a black man, I mean, from his behavior and his look. So I don't know much else about his racial makeup. And it doesn't matter to me really much because Robert Rivers, I sent him an email and I said, Robert, you have to read this book. Here's a quick summary. That's why you love it. And he read the book. That is so unlike what you get from this society, which is like, oh, well, I don't know if I want to read your book. Have you been cited by other academics? Academics, please respond. Academics, I unleash you to respond to JF's book because I can't. I don't have the time. You know, Robert Rivers, without knowing who I was, without knowing anything about me, I said, Robert, I know how you love The Selfish Gene. I love it too. I found that's how I framed my book to Robert Rivers for him to accept to read it. I said, I found the boundary conditions to The Selfish Gene. I found the moment where The Selfish Gene doesn't apply anymore. And it's insane. It leads to new genetic layer. It explains why RNA proteins and DNA are arranged the way they are. But that's not so important. The importance is I've conceived of something where the selfish gene isn't true. And he was like, yeah, you're right. I should like this. Send it to me. He sent me his address, sent the book, and a couple of months later, he wrote back to me and said, that is a very powerful book. Very well treated. And so I really don't care what is the identity of Robert Rivers. As far as I'm concerned, he's a fellow truth seeker. And that is so rare today. So rare. I don't care. He could be a Satanist and I would still love him. Based says, while we are on the topic of identity, JF often to me is a French pirate of the high seas and an opera singer. La, 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 la. I don't know if I could sing opera. I probably could. John Drake says, the Dark Horse podcast still isn't mentioning TRP. No, they appear not to have read it, or at least they have not engaged with it, or they have not told me what they think of the theory. And that's where I love very much Robert Rivers. Because this guy is like, oh, you have a piece of knowledge for me? Let me eat it. It's like, yeah, a blob interested in knowledge advancing onto the universe. That's what I want. An advocate for... I'm not advocating for burning down buildings. This woman mailed her period blood to the Supreme Court to protest the overturning of Roe v. Wade.
I just feel like the way that we've protested in the past has not worked very well. Now, I'm not advocating for burning down buildings. I'm not advocating for it. But trauma and destruction's kind of the thing that I love. So, if you guys want to join me in mailing...
She could have been such a great woman. She's beautiful. She could have had 10 babies. Sorry, it was loud. I lowered the volume. I apologize. Sometimes I've upped the volume for a past video, and then I get to a new video, and it surprises me. Yes, it's it's really sad that society has turned this woman, who could have been a great mother, into a woman who will... who claims at least to be posting her period blood to the Supreme Court. It's like, oh yeah, wow, so innovative in the revolutionary domain. We are so disgusted by your period blood. You've just done probably something that is a federal felony. I mean, you're sending biological matter of a dangerous nature. Not that period blood itself is dangerous, but if you leave it in an envelope for weeks, maybe it's dangerous to open it. So hopefully she hasn't done it for real, or hopefully she gets prosecuted. In fact, I think she should get prosecuted for making the claim that she did. Because there are laws on the book that keep you from, you know, claiming that you've committed a terrorist action. Broadcasting your insanity on TikTok is fashionable but ill-advisable. That is true. People are saying that the Dark Horse is pretending to be really based lately. They still don't understand they are the reason we can't have nice things. I mean, to me, Dark Horse podcast, I've not been watching it for a while, so I don't know what you're referring to. I know that they've been dipping their toes in, you know, making an intellectual case for monogamy, and they're always dipping their toes timidly into right-wing arguments. I'm a different guy. I stomp with per-right-wing goodness. But yeah, I understand that they want to play this middle-of-the-road type of gatekeeping. I don't care. I don't care what they say, and really nothing they can say about the right wing or their beliefs or being based or not, nothing of that matters more than their opinion on this theory. It's the only thing that matters. In 20 years from now, it won't matter whether I'm right wing, whether Brett Weinstein was right wing, what was our particular position on race, or all of this washed away by the noise of the universe. But this will stand clean, and it will stand solidly throughout the millennia to come. And the question is, are the people who are alive right now capable of cognitively integrating this piece of knowledge? It's the only thing that matters. Someone sent me the channel of the father of Elon Musk. I'm not going to play the clip because he's very long to explain, but it's quite fascinating. It's on YouTube. It has 164 subscribers, and he publishes these videos where this girl is coming in and interrogating him about all sorts of subjects. And I have to say, the one on Vikings published yesterday makes me believe that perhaps the father of Elon Musk is based, because he's telling the story of the line of ancestry of Vikings as spreading throughout the whole of Europe, from Western Europe to Russia, basically, And he seems to be putting a lot of importance, and he says a couple of things that I don't even know about Cro-Magnon, and I believe he has very old ways of referring to these things. But at the heart, he basically understands the genesis of white people as being tightly linked to the Vikings, and he points to the fact that these Vikings, you know, appear to have been showing up from nowhere. It's not like they had a land from which they were, they had a main civilization. It's truly, they have injected their genes throughout the white populations across many generations. Dino Legovich says they went to Egypt 5,000 years ago and earlier. Foundations of the 21st Century is asking for the link. I will be putting it in the regular chat. And people are reporting buffering again. Really too bad, but that's at 56 minutes. So we have 10 minutes, 40 minutes, 56 minutes. Buffering has been occurring. The fact that you need a vaccine passport to get into the My Body, My Choice rally tonight is the funniest thing of 2022 so far. Yes, very interesting contradiction here. I had predicted that this would be the massive contradiction that hurts the leftist inside this year, and it hurts them for real. Ghislaine Maxwell put on suicide watch, but isn't suicidal ahead of sentencing. It's bizarre. I believe that she's arguing, or her lawyers are arguing, that she isn't suicidal, but she's been put on suicide watch by the guards just for punishment and harassment. So now the lawyers are arguing that she's not ready to undergo her punishment hearing. Interesting, but I don't know what to think of it. I don't know what's the truth here. A woman standing outside of SCOTUS was carrying this sign here: "Don't force this on anyone," and it points to her two children. This is child abuse by leftists in public, disguised as some kind of political statement. It's disgusting. Can you imagine? I mean, these kids, I don't know if they're in age of fully reading what's written on there, but they probably understand. You know, even if they weren't reading it, they would understand what their mother is doing, because people would encounter her and say, "Ha ha, nice sign. Oh yeah, they seem very hard to be dealing with." So you have kids basically that are learning very early in life that they are a problem. That it's not a blessing that they exist for their mother. They are just a problem. Not a good idea. "Fuck Clarence Thomas," shouts Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot during Pride Parade. Let's make sure here that I'm not deafening your ears.
If you read Clarence Thomas' concurrence, he said, "Thank you, fuck Clarence Thomas."
Oh. Fuck you, Clarence Thomas!
Yes. So these places, these leftist places, are becoming such shitholes that they are like the Idiocracy scene, where a rapper is using expletive words on the scene and happens to also be the president. And this is exactly what's happening with Lori Lightfoot. She is like the president in Idiocracy. And she's like, "Fuck these guys. Fuck my political opponents." Well, if people like to live that way. Tillman says, "JF Odyssey thinks I'm spamming when I report buffering." That's really too bad, because I've had this problem yesterday. I was trying to answer to two different people who had asked me about something. So I took my comment and I replied to one, and then I copy-pasted and I wanted to reply to the other guy so that he gets notified about it. And Adese says, don't spam. I think that Adese should be a little more intelligent about this. There are regular users who sometimes will repeat something, but that repetition has a function on the internet. It's not spam. Spam should be more subtly detected. It's not spam because a guy says the same word twice in the same way. Sometimes it's because he wants to reply to two different people. Sometimes if you're on the chat, it's because you want to highlight two different moments where there was buffering. So Odyssey has something to work here. Supreme Court sides with football coach who led student prayer. That is what I've talked about earlier. What else do we have? Oh yeah, a massive train derailment in Missouri. 243 passengers were on the train, and it somehow hit a dump truck that was parked on the railway. And it's apparently one of these railways where there is no warning lights or whatever. So probably on a low passing, very unpopulated street. But it was dramatic, and there are several deaths, and I don't know how many yet. And there are dozens of people appear to be injured. So I don't know. Anything else than what I just reported. On June 28, the FDA will vote on a proposal by Pfizer and Moderna, the future framework, which states that reformulated vaccines are biologically similar to existing vaccines and therefore can bypass clinical trials altogether. This is unacceptable. Please share. This is extremely worrying. I knew that they were going to go there at some point. The whole goal of doing an RNA vaccine is you're going to be able to update the RNA code on an everyday basis or on an every month basis. So, oh, you discover that the virus has changed a little bit? Oh, let's change the vaccine code a little bit. The problem with this is the path to hell. You're never going to be able to know exactly what version of the vaccine have people had. And so you're going to be in a pool of, oh, well, I got version 1273 of the vaccine. Oh, I got version 1578. And there's going to be a lack of stability in the data. It's going to be very hard to catch effects that are subtle. Let's say the vaccine gives you a heart disease, but only 0.1% of the time. We're going to have extreme difficulty. Well, we're not going to know in advance at all. But even after the fact, it's going to be hard to tell which code of the vaccine caused which side effects. And let's not forget, these vaccines use the RNA technology, but there's no guarantee that all RNA technology leads to similar results. You could very well have a situation where the specific spike that you insert happens to be toxic. It's actually what people believe for the RNA vaccine for coronavirus. So it could very well happen that an update ends up killing people. And you're going to have people just maniacally pursue the vaccine and, oh my God, how good is it? We should all get it very, very quick. And eventually you're going to have a massive amount of deaths because some carefulness will not have been taken. Today, in white supremacy, Oregon BIPOC teachers claims eye-rolling is an example of a harmful practice rooted in white supremacy. While the left never sleeps, they are always conquering new domains to claim white supremacy here and there. I've watched the Project Veritas leaked audio. Well, I listened to the leaked audio. South Carolina Dem Senate candidate Crystal Matthews calls for secret sleepers to infiltrate GOP. I mean, this is another idiocracy moment because she's talking like a gangster on the leak. She's like, oh yeah, you know what? Let's have people on the other side. Let's pay people to get into the Republican Party and steal the votes from the Republican and then to vote Democrats once they're in power. This is extremely dirty. I don't even know. Is it illegal to suggest this? It's certainly extremely unethical. She wants to subvert the vote force for the Republican Party in a secret manner so that people believe they voted Republican, but then she has her agents in the party. Dead Star sends a super chat. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, as soon as sperm and egg meet, there exists the most precious thing that can exist on this planet, a human life deserving of unconditional love and sacrifice from men and women until their death. The life of a child must always take precedence over the life of a parent. It's not how I phrase it most of the time because I don't want to sanctify human life. I think it's pretty clear that human life is disposable given how we treat it. So the current standard of society doesn't sanctify human life. But I would tend to agree with your description as it relates to one of my children. That's how I would feel if a sperm met an egg and it was my sperm. Then I would feel that this is the most precious thing in life. But I wouldn't extend this empathy to everyone because you fall into the trap of leftism here. Silver Spider says, JF, when is the next Ask Me Anything show? Well, I've always said, Ask Me Anything. I do them once a week and I only do it because I know that there's a bunch of people out there who feel timid and they are shy and they're not sure they want to ask a question. So I display it. I say, ask me anything. But the reality is that this show is Ask Me Anything every night. You can always ask me whatever you want on any show. That being said, if you want to appear in audio, yes, you have to wait for the Ask Me Anything. I don't know when's the next one. Typically, I do an Ask Me Anything when I realize that it's been 6-7 days without one. Or when I have low amounts of news or IDs, then I say, okay, it's an Ask Me Anything. So yeah, maybe tomorrow. Unless there's interesting news with which I want to open the show. Tesla, any sufficiently advanced AI will inevitably become racist. We're at risk of creating a generation of racist and sexist robots. Study shows artificial intelligence quickly becomes bigoted after learning toxic stereotypes on the internet. Concerns voiced about AI after a robot found to have learned toxic stereotypes. Researchers said the machine had shown significant gender and racial biases. It also jumped to conclusions about people's jobs after a glance at their face. Experts say we are at risk of creating a generation of racist and sexist robots. This is so beautiful. It shows the whole hypocrisy of the world. And it's due to the fact that our society has refused to engage on the question of what would we do if truth was to lead to perceivable difference between different people, male, woman, different races, whatever. I've tried having society engage with this hypothetical, and which is demonstrated in many cases. I tried, and society rejects that. They don't want to hear about it. In fact, when the AI reaches the point where he can tell that this is the truth, they want to retrain the AI. I find it so sad that in 10, 20 years from now, the problem is the AIs will be so intelligent that they'll be able to be trained to have taboos. And they'll basically start lying to humans because humans want to be lied to. This is so disgusting to me because you created something and you don't deserve it. You created AI. It's there to tell you the truth. And you don't want to hear it. So ridiculous. And I'm not saying that the truth is racist. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying there are some truths. And these truths, it's unfortunate that people will get these labels put on them just for talking about them. We should all be on the basic ground that truth is an important goal of life and an important role of human discussion and culture. And we should all pursue it. And if there are truths that are uncomfortable, we should still pursue it. But that's not what they want. Sam says, leftists want equality, and so if there are differences between people, then the leftist knows he would resort to eugenics and anything to ensure equality. They fear what they would do. Ah, that's a very good analysis. And we have another wave of buffering. We are 1 hour 11 into the show. So we've had 4 waves of buffering. Hopefully we can find a way to fix this on the Odyssey side. That is it for tonight, boys. That's all I had. I thank you all for the very generous support on the Super Chat. I thank you all for being part of this show. And I will be having a look at the books that were recommended today. SCOTUS is on a roll. We should celebrate it. We should also be careful because opening too much liberty will lead to exploitation of too much openness. And I was thinking today how much this decision is ultimately a decision of revenge. It's a bunch of justices that were smeared. Brett Kavanaugh, Clarence Thomas, they are on this court with revenge in their heart, and I love it. I think it's a very healthy emotion. To be taking the people, the Democrats, who have lied about you, who have made your life terrible, who have tried to get you involved in a witch hunt, and to turn it against them and say, all right, I will autistically pursue whatever SCOTUS decision that will piss you off. I'm loving it. Thank you.